My question is whether or not it would be advantageous for me, if it's possible, to incorporate the savings that I've had now put aside for a number of years and incorporate it within the trust to avoid tax implications for my my kids, if you will.
Okay. So Bill, this is a big one. You were right. And I have a question for you first. So when and I'll turn to Jamie for a second. Jamie, if I said to you I have a estate tax type trust,
right?
You would think it's probably an irrevocable life insurance trust or something like that, right? Or an irrevocable trust.
Or a true irrevocable trust where you don't have any.
It is an irrevocable trust.
So let me ask you a question about that. Do you know who the income beneficiary of the trust is, if any of those assets in the trust right now generate dividends and interest?
None of the assets from my savings, if you will, are in the trust as of now.
Correct, but the things that are in the trust, are you the income beneficiary of that trust? Do you know?
The income beneficiary of the trust.
The reason why it's so important, and what I will also say, Bill, and I think Jamie would agree, this is the type of fact pattern where we want to see you in one of those four offices to really look at this document, because these details matter. And the ramifications, as an example, of whether you're the income beneficiary or not, whether you have what are called incidents of ownership of some of these assets, will determine whether or not the things in this trust, the assets in it, are exempt from estate taxes or whether they're not. Well, let's talk about taxes. In New York, the estate tax exemption is over $6 million. I don't want you to tell me on the air how much is in this trust, okay? But if it's a lot less than that, well, then we're not worried about estate taxes. In the state of New York, we're going to talk about the state of Michigan in a couple minutes here when we get to Aretha Franklin's estate and debacle. But in New York, there is no inheritance tax. If you inherit money, you don't pay taxes. There is an estate tax that the estate pays. But again, if it's an estate worth less than about $6.5 million, there's no taxes. So I don't know why the trust was created or whether the trust language actually accomplishes what you're trying to do. But we kind of need to know all that before we can tackle the question of what to do with the savings account, because it's all everything's connected, if that makes sense.
Well, of course, originally we wanted to establish the trust and get over that five-year period in the event that we required, extreme medical care.
So now, Jamie, Bill is giving us a little breadcrumb.
A little more information.
Because you said five-year, it was motivated by 5 years, and we know, and even John knows from listening so much, that a five-year look back doesn't mean it's irrevocable.
Right.
It's technically irrevocable. Mm-hmm. It still means you are going to have certain enjoyment of the assets in that trust. So we really need to see it. We're not punting on this. In fact, we could probably talk about this fact pattern for the next half hour, the rest of the show. But to give you any specific help that you could depend on, I think you do need to come into the office.
Okay, if that's what needs to be done, we can take care of that.
Yeah, and you know, it'll be a free consultation with Jane Marie or myself or Phil or whoever, and we'll get to the bottom of it. And thanks so much for the phone call. I actually want to keep listening because I want to talk a little bit more about this, but without you on the phone.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. What do you think, Jane Marie? Because I have some thoughts, but I want to hear what your initial thoughts are on this.
Well, I think initially when he said estate taxes, I was thinking of the type of trust that he would not have any access to the trust.
Right.
Right? No, not even the income, not the principal. He wouldn't have any rights to make changes to the trust. Different from our kind of more, what we do more of are the Medicaid asset protection trust.
Yeah, like the grantor trust, so to speak. The ones where our clients continue to use and enjoy everything in there. It's geared towards long-term care. And when he did mention the 5 years, then it's, okay, now we're talking about motivation, and you're not preparing a trust for someone who doesn't really have any estate tax need, but is looking forward to protecting money for Medicaid purposes. You're not doing that super irrevocable trust. You're doing just the basic Medicaid trust, because we still want them to use and enjoy. you know, the fact that he did it some time ago also suggests that it was prospective, trying to plan for the future needs that he and his wife may have, not just, you know, taxes. But he did mention the T word there, the taxes, and that gets us going in a bunch of different directions.
Right. We need to know a little bit more, right, to see whether we are in a taxable situation and whether we're giving him the right advice to save taxes.
Now, it doesn't hurt to come in. We do free consults, and we don't do a half-hour free consult or a 15-minute free consult. It's an hour because we got to get to the bottom of things. When it comes to people who don't already have a trust, Jamer, it's who are they? What makes them tick?
Mm-hmm.
Details about their family. The smallest things may matter a lot in our world, and we can't just go spend 5 hours with someone telling them everything that exists in estate planning.
Mm-hmm.
But
we'd like to get to know you first, and then based on your facts, we can steer you or guide you towards certain things that are going to be best for you.
A client with a disabled child has different options and different difficulties, right? Mm-hmm. It can go in either direction compared to someone who doesn't, or someone who has one of their children still living at the house with them while they have long-term care, while they are on this new Alzheimer's treatment. Their options financially are vastly different when it comes to protecting a house if there's a child in the house or there isn't. So the little details matter. You know, when we look at the questionnaire, I always look at, you know, where does everyone live?
Mm-hmm.
And if there's one of the children already, you know, I see their address is their parents' house. They're either moving around a lot and they just list their parents' house or they do live there. And that starts to tell a story as well.
That's true. Yeah. One of the clients I met with yesterday, he's disabled. He lives with his parents. His parents are getting on in years. So that tells you a lot of different things about that. And we're actually really talking more from the Medicaid side, that the son actually needs help first before the parents.
Right.
So we're looking at maybe Medicaid home care for him and the parents.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen that one. That's pretty interesting.
Right.
The other thing about that is also, when there is a child at home or a child who's the main caretaker, it may not be a cookie cutter. Everyone gets to split the assets equally when mom and dad die. It could be we are benefiting the child who's been, you know, dropping everything to take care of mom and dad.
That's right.
A little more. And that's where things can get dicey as well. Somehow we're already at the halfway point of the half hour, John. I don't know how this happened. Did you speed up the clock or something?
No, but look at that. 7:45. Wow.
Well, we'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston. Our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And we're back. Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And good morning. My name is Jane Marie Schaefer.
It's a call-in program here, guys. 518-476-5900. And Diana in Albany already knows that number because she's waiting to talk to us. Good morning, Diana. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Okay. I have a probably silly question, but if you have a CD, can you put that in a trust?
Sure. Why not? Now, what kind of CD is it? Is it the greatest hits of the Bee Gees, or what are we talking here?
No, Elvis Presley.
Well played, Diana. Well played.
I have some money in a CD right now that's for 13 months.
Okay.
Well, can so let that me go into a...
It can, Diana, but you may want to wait for the CD to mature.
I thought maybe that would be the better case, but...
Well, motivations matter, Jamie, and if we're trying to get you qualified for, you know, community Medicaid next month, we want that CD in today, and who cares about the interest on it? But if you're doing pretty well and we just want to get it in there eventually, I think you wait till it matures.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
That was not a silly question at all.
Okay.
Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Anything can go in a trust, Jamie.
Yes.
Just about.
Yeah, pretty much anything.
Retirement aside.
Yes, that's right.
So CDs, savings bonds, it could be bank accounts and money markets, and it could be even cash value of life insurance.
Yes, that's right.
Put a car in. You could put your personal property.
Could put a car or a boat, maybe.
You could put all of Aretha Franklin's furs and jewelry and her repertoire of her catalog of music.
So, well, no one would want those furs anymore, would they?
I would love those furs. They're Aretha Franklin's furs. Are you kidding me? So, John, you may not know this. Maybe you do know this. What? So, and this is where our worlds collide.
Okay.
So, Aretha Franklin died about 5 years ago.
Right, right.
Queen of Soul.
Yep.
Right? R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Mm-hmm.
Chain of Fools. Hold on. When she died, she died of pancreatic cancer,
right.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, there's
no
cure for that.
No.
Despite the fact that she had that, she knew she had it, she never got to do a formal estate plan. She died without a will.
Okay, so it's not like a James Brown thing where it's a mess.
Well, no. It's an equal mess.
Is it? Okay.
It's right. Somewhat like Prince's mess, because Prince also died without a will.
Right.
But here, the beneficiaries or the bloodline is a little clearer. She has four sons.
Mm-hmm.
Aretha Franklin has four sons.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She died without a will. Until they found two wills.
They did.
One will was handwritten from 2010, and it was signed, and it was notarized.
And it was notarized, so
apparently,
it's legal.
Well, I guess in Michigan, that's how it works.
Okay.
There were no witnesses needed.
Right. No witnesses, just a memory.
So who knows, Michigan.
Bizarre.
However, it gets better, because in her couch...
Her couch?
In her couch, they found a notebook. In the notebook, there was another will. From 2014, handwritten, not signed, a draft.
Was it her handwriting?
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah. Could be.
So all of a sudden, the four boys, now if they were saying the identical things, it's not a big deal, right? Everything's going to go however both say. But of course, these two documents, 4 years apart, are different in certain substantive ways. And now the boys are all fighting as to which will do we use. The attorney for the brother who wants the 2010 will says, well, this one's signed, and it's notarized, and this is the will, right? Mm-hmm. The one for the 2014 will that's not signed, but the draft says, well, this is Michigan, and apparently in Michigan, your wants and desires, even if it's not signed, may still work.
That's crazy.
So they are in a fight 5 years in. The estate itself, because, you know, you could listen to this radio station and in an hour from now hear one of her songs, right?
Right.
Yeah.
The estate's still making money.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and always will.
So the estate income was something in the neighborhood of $3 million and change. The estate legal fees to date were $900,000.
Oh, my gosh.
For this fight.
Gee.
So what could we possibly learn from Aretha Franklin? Well, a couple things,
right,
Jamie. Number one, you got to have a will or a plan.
Yes. I can't believe these celebrities who die without wills, you know?
Without plans.
Without a plan or without a trust, I mean.
Well, that's the other thing is that why do we know all this stuff?
We shouldn't, right?
No. And, you know, she's Aretha Franklin. She was worth several million dollars, and she could have very easily...
I'm sure
she had an attorney or she had an agent,
and
a publicist, and a this and a that.
Sure, someone told her about estate planning.
Just get a trust done. Yeah. And it mentions in the article that she had tried to, but it never got done. But the article kept talking about wills, and I'm thinking, trust.
Right.
You know,
we shouldn't know all the details, right, of her son's fighting, right? That could all be private.
We never talk about David Bowie's estate. You know why? Because he did a bunch of trusts, and no one knows anything about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's no conflict.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right, yeah.
So that's the difference here. Number two, every state's different. I would never have imagined if Diana from Albany called and she had a question about whether a will from Michigan that's never been signed works, I would say no way.
I can't imagine a will not being signed, getting through probate.
So who knows, and it might be to try to knock out the 2010 will and have it be the default. The one thing about Michigan that seemed pretty clear is that when you don't have a will, and that's how they were proceeding originally, is there's nothing, right, is that everything gets split by your issue.
So it would be divided among her four kids?
Four kids evenly.
Mm-hmm.
So the new wills, the 2010 will, the 2014 will, are obviously not evenly.
They must.
So there's something to fight over. In fact, the 2010 will, which was the signed one, required two of the boys, two of her sons, to take business classes and money classes before they're allowed to inherit the money and receive it.
Huh. Wow.
Huh, that's an interesting condition.
Yeah.
You could put anything in a will if you want to.
You could, I guess. I mean, obviously, she thinks they need to learn how to manage money. And I've talked to a lot of clients about that, and we put in, like, another trustee. But
yeah, or they're going to get money over time.
Get money over time, but to take a business class first, that's an interesting idea.
Well, we'll see if it works. We'll see what happens. It's just a shame because just a little bit. You know, when we have clients, Jamie, where their, like, mom or their dad inherit money, because daughter died without a will and without a spouse and no kids and whatever. Or just like, all you needed was something to say, give it to the hospital, give it to charity, give it to St. Jude's.
That's right.
Right. Don't give it to Medicaid that's covering dad or something who's already in a nursing home. Just anything would have done.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel kind of the same way with some of these celebrities. Just have something in place.
You can do a simple will in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to do.
And, you know, for us, it might just be a house and a bank account. And how's that going to get split? And it's a relatively finite thing. But for someone like Aretha Franklin, whose music will live on forever and whose estate, that catalog will make money, she's one of those rare people who owned a lot of her stuff or her intellectual property. The stakes are huge.
They are. And you're right. So it's more than just an average estate, so maybe that's where the business classes come in to manage that library, make sure you're maximizing the income, right? There's a lot.
Yeah, by the way, I don't think the sons are saying, well, I don't want to take the business class. I'm sure they'll do whatever they want and so on, but it looks like the 2014 will actually changed percentages enough.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there was a house involved where the house went to only some people as opposed to being, again, part of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everyone out there just needs to say, well, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want Jamie and Dave and John talking about my estate on the radio.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, we don't want that. So just have a plan. It could be a really bad plan. It could be a great plan. It could be a will. It could be a trust. But we just don't want that confusion unnecessarily. You know, if she went to an attorney and the attorney was holding the original will, a lot of the questions as to whether this was, you know, whether the thing she signed in 2014, or actually she didn't sign it in 2014, whether that thing stuffed in her couch is going to be effective or not. You know, we would get a resolution to that.
Mm-hmm. Right. When it's signed in the office, you know, where they're witnessing it, we can say the proper questions were asked and the proper procedure was followed. It's a lot cleaner.
Yeah. And by the way, if you say, you know what, I'm going to go online and print out a will and sign it and do everything, whatever. Whenever you're done, don't put it in your couch.
That's right.
Put it somewhere else.
The mattress. No.
I mean, you can't make it up.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be in the office. Yesterday, I think I had texted you that I did a parking lot signing, which I haven't
you
done
did?
In a while.
Oh, wow.
It was that client who's disabled and his parents are disabled and because of...
Okay.
And it was horrible rains yesterday. He has... I don't know what you call it. You have the armrest and you walk with the sticks.
A walker?
It's not really a walker.
I know the kind you mean. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so he would have could have fallen in the rain. So I said, don't worry, I'll just come out to the car. Popped in the car.
Yeah.
We signed the will in the car. The witness was in the back seat. It was just, you know.
Yeah.
Very bizarre. But there was an attorney supervising that. It was signed. It was witnessed. It was all.
And you got it done. You found a way to get it done.
Yeah, we got it done. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know, I have one of the things about Aretha's estate that just triggered something with one of my clients. So, you know, you could put rules on your money and you could say that someone's not good with money. We want to give it to them over time.
Mm-hmm.
One of my clients this past week, they have a son who's got some I'll not say special needs, but specific needs.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get money over time.
Okay.
And the client said, you know what? I don't think it's fair that my daughter gets everything at once. Mm-hmm. So I want her to get something over time as well. And I said, that's interesting, you know, whatever you want, but, you know, fair to them was to be exactly equal.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't.
In things. It's not normally like that.
Yeah. I mean, they can get the same amounts. It doesn't have to be given the same way. Although I guess they felt it had to be. But.
Well, they felt bad for the son who's going to get it over time. They wanted the daughter to get it over time, even though they have no concerns about the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so on. And, you know, like Aretha has concerns about two of her kids, so they have to take business classes. Still can't get over that.
I can't. We may be incorporating that into some of our wills. Yeah.
You know,
not a bad idea.
As long as it's not against public policy, like you only get money if you divorce that no good son-in-law of mine, you could probably get away with anything.
You probably could.
Yeah. Interesting stuff, guys. Interesting stuff. I am really, really excited about this Alzheimer's treatment, though. Anything that can slow down the progression for our clients is going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
It also means, the flip side is, it also means we're going to be dealing with this disease for a longer period of time. That's
true.
A good thing.
Right.
That's also a thing you got to plan around, because now the long-term care implications are a much longer-term back pattern.
That's right. It can slow down the progression, but you may need care, right? Even though it's slowing down the disease, you may still need some assistance.
Yeah, and it may be that, you know, I'm interested to see in the future, in the coming years, first of all, how this medication goes, but also the implications for the home care
the
road.
Have a great weekend.
Take care, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.
Hey, it's John Tesh. If you're thinking of selling your home, let me take the stress out of deciding which agent
had services, but also would be foregoing work. So that would be a great candidate to be paid.
Sure.
Through Medicaid.
Sure. Yeah. And that's the other good point, is that it doesn't always have to be through an agency.
Yep.
You know, you can, as the Medicaid recipient, you can be your own employer through certain programs and pay someone of your choice, whether it's a friend, family, private aid that you've had for a while that you already like. You don't have to go through an agency. There's programs available through Medicaid that they'll pay for those individuals at your choice, which is a fantastic program that works really well for people a lot of times.
Absolutely. The other thing I suggested to her was, you know, because COVID is kind of ended, the day programs at nursing facilities are kind of back. So if, as an example, she's having a tough time being able to manage her work life and caring for dad life, a day program for dad.
Yep.
Allows her the flexibility to go to work and whatever. But, you know, I all of this is awful. You know, like we're making lemonade big time here, because we're starting with dad needing a lot of help, and it's not great, right?
Sure.
And it's going to go in one direction. But we don't just surrender to, oh, well, that's too bad, and let's look at nursing homes. Home is an option. And back to this independence theme, if this gentleman wants to be as independent as possible, he's not going to live by himself ever again, right? But but the version of independence he's going to have is, and she's going to have with him is choosing their own adventure, right? And maybe the options aren't great, and maybe over time the options become less and less great, but there's options, and we want them to take advantage of choosing which option they want to go with.
Yeah, it's finding that best form of independence that's available, depending on the situation, which looks different for everybody. I had a client recently, similar type situation. There was, I think, maybe 6 or 7 kids, and they were all helping provide care for their dad, which was great. And they were all pitching in, but they told me all these... It was actually incredible how many bad things happened to this family in a short time. It was really sad. One's husband was sick, one had a relative who passed away, and they were just caught up in their own stuff and said, we can't do it anymore. We can't do it. And this particular family had created a trust, so they were proactive. Mm-hmm. The father had created a trust, and they, we need the money from the trust. We have to get the money out of the trust. Well, I said, well, wait a minute. Let's talk about what he has first and what the situation is before we go there. And we can go there if we need to. But we sat down and we discussed his income again. We discussed his assets. And we discussed community Medicaid, what we were just talking about. And when I explained it to them in more simpler terms and how that pooled trust works to protect their his income and still be able to spend it.
If you could describe a pooled trust in simple terms, you're a legal whiz. But go ahead.
I tried my best. Yes. And they seemed to understand. At least they told me they understood, you know, in that moment. But at the end of that conversation, it was such a cathartic experience for them, which is often the case. They were so thankful. We didn't know we had this option. And the way you explained it, now we understand, and yes, let's do that. And it was great. I mean, now we don't have to access the money from the trust either, yet at least. We still have the option to in the future if we need to.
Can we just stop there? Because that's what I was going to bring up. That's a perfect example of how someone can plan and always down the road be able to pull money out of the trust if need be. Now, it turns out, if they could pull it out, why aren't they pulling it out? Because there's a better option right now. Right, community Medicaid provides another option, you know. But we know, worst case scenario, if dad can't stay home only because of money, and we have a bunch of money parked in this trust protected, we are going to encourage our clients to unprotect that money or some of it to pay for home. Right, if the only reason he can't stay at home is money, and there's money that he's got in his name and his trust, we're good.
Yep.
Right. Sometimes it gets beyond that, so we want to protect the money. And guess what? Sometimes you need a nursing home. That's why they exist.
Sure. Yeah. I haven't spoken to anyone yet that says I want to go into a nursing home. So we're always looking at other options first, but sometimes it's unavoidable.
I used to say that, but then one person said it.
And they had one.
Like, yeah.
Interesting.
Now, I just want to say something, Phil. Yes, when you texted me that you wanted to talk about Independence Day, I thought you were going to talk about the movie for a half hour.
One of the greats. Yeah, Will Smith. Yeah. Jeff Goldblum.
What a rising. I mean, that was a
whenever
great
I see that on TV, I always stop and watch it. And I know it's going to happen.
One of our best presidents ever, by the way, was Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman.
He's fantastic. I would vote for him today.
Yeah, right.
Although, a little unbelievable, the movie.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it holds up very well.
Yeah, it's science fiction. It's, you know.
There was a second one, you know, too. The second one was...
I haven't seen this.
I refuse to. I heard it was bad.
It wasn't. It was a disservice to the title.
There's only one Independence Day in my mind.
Yeah.
So you got some good plans, I hope. Weather resistant plans.
Well, there's plan A, plan B, right? Just like estate planning. You know, always a backup plan.
Well, it's good to have options, right?
It is. It's all about having options.
Well, you guys have a wonderful 4th.
Happy 4th, everyone.
See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.